All right. Thank you, Dr. Taze. Well, stink bugs have really increased in pest status across the Southeast. This has been attributed mainly to the eradication of the boll weevil and due to the use of or reduction in broad spectrum insecticides and the use of more specific insecticides. Now, currently, when we're scouting for these insects, consultants have to go out, they have to collect bolls, and they're targeting what we're calling quarter-sized diameter bolls, which we were just discussing. And they're pulling these bolls and having to pop these bolls open and look for internal damage. And the internal damage can be described as either a wart, seen here, which is a callus cell growth on the internal corporal wall, or stained lint. So if a boll has either or both of these, that boll is considered damaged. And currently, as we were just talking, the threshold has been set around 20 to 10% static threshold, but we're in the process of, you know, examining further the dynamic. So if they go out and scout the field and it has a 20% internal damage, then we can treat the field. We had many consultants and scouts approach us and say, look, is there any way easier to scout for these stink bugs without having to pop all these bolls? Well, we knew that stink bugs, when they feed, they can leave external lesions on these bolls. But what we didn't know is there a correlation between these external sunken lesions, seen here, and these are described as basically sunken lesion about 1/16 in diameter, brown discoloration, and if you look in the center, you can still find the remnants of the stylet sheath of where the stink bug had been feeding. So we really wanted to examine, is there a correlation between these external lesions and that internal damage that we just saw? So in 2006 and 2007, we did some correlation studies, and we found, here we have our external lesions compared to the warts, stains, and then a combination of the two for total damage. And we found in 2006 and 2007 that we were able to develop moderately positive, strong Pearson's correlation coefficients, as you can see, with 0.63 and 0.44 for the 2 years respectively. So with that information in mind, we were able to say, okay, yes, there is a correlation. It seems somewhat consistent. It's moderately strong. What can we do with that? Well, we then developed predictability curves. And this is based on the 2006 data. And I'll set this up. Here on the x-axis, we have our total number of lesions per bowl. And on the y-axis, we have our percent predictability. So if you see here, we started with zero external lesions, go 1, 2, 3, 4. So at this spot, when we saw 4 external lesions on a bowl, we were able to say with 90% confidence that that bowl had internal damage. So we said, okay, we have this information. Can we take this to the field and apply it? So we did a preliminary run in 2007. Of a field trial testing a new external stink bug scouting technique using this type of data and compared it to the traditional bowl popping method. So the objective of our study was really to evaluate the relationship between that external symptoms, or what we're calling these external sunken lesions, and that internal damage, the warts and the stained lint, which are caused by the stink bug feeding. We also wanted to examine the amount of time required for each of these techniques. And we did this in commercial cotton fields. So as I mentioned, 2007 was really a preliminary year just trying this out in the field. We had 10 fields that we found that were around that 20% or above 20% threshold for stink bug damage. These fields were scattered across eastern North Carolina and southeastern Virginia. At each of these fields, we had 10 sample areas set up in the field with marked flagging tape. And this was pretty much done in a typical sampling pattern. And I'll show kind of what that looked like here in a second. At each of these sampling areas that we went to, we collected 10 quarter-sized diameter bowls. And for our first run, we did 2 runs, one with the new scouting technique and one with the old bowl popping technique. So for the first run, we went to each of these flagging sites, pulled 10 bowls, looked at the outside of the bowl, and if the bowl had 4 or more external lesions, we said that bowl was damaged. We then went to our next sampling area, repeated the procedure, and continued through the field until all the sampling areas had been sampled, exited the field, and we recorded our time. Our second run, we did the same thing. We went into our first sampling area, pulled 10 bowls, but this time we popped them using the traditional bowl popping method, examined the bowls for internal damage. If it had either a wart or stained lint, it was deemed damaged. We did this for all 10 bowls at that sampling area, then proceeded to the next sampling area, and so forth until we completed our sampling route and exited the field, recorded the amount of time for that sampling technique. And this is just a little demonstration here of kind of the scouting pattern we used. So next, in 2008, we changed it up a little bit. All the data that we took from 2007, we looked at it again. We actually went back and looked at that correlation data and saw the way we originally looked at it was on an external lesion basis per internal damage. So it's basically looking at one lesion compared to one internal damage. What we wanted to do is, since scouts look at the inside of the bowl, and if it has a single wart or stain, it's deemed damaged, we decided to go ahead and do the same thing with our data. We turned the internal damage into a binomial data set for if it had zero or if it had no internal damage, we said it was clean and gave it a zero. If it was damaged inside, we gave it a one. And then we compared, or actually set up our correlations with the external lesions to that binomial data. We ran it through and we developed inverse confidence intervals, which kind of gave us our sampling error. And we found that our sample size could actually change. If we increased our sample size using our external method from 10 bowls to 20, we could then go down, instead of having to count four external lesions, we could get away with counting one external lesion and say that bowl was damaged. So with this information in mind, these are the techniques that we used in 2008. We found more fields this year. We had 15. We decreased our sampled area from 10 to 5 sample areas in a field. This year, we also added a new caveat. We looked at 3 expertise levels. We looked at a low level, which is someone who had never really been in a cotton field before. We had them come in, and we gave them just a quick tutorial as to the techniques we were using. This is what an external lesion looks like. This is what internal damage looks like. And pretty much took them into the field and had them do the scouting technique. We used a medium expertise level, which is basically Dr. Herbert and myself. We were calling ourselves medium because we're not in the field all the time. We're not quite as proficient as going through the field as consultants, but we are familiar with both techniques. And then finally, we had our high expertise level, which were professional consultants who are quite proficient at moving through the field. They know what they're looking for and can go quite rapidly. So we added these 3 expertise levels because we wanted to realize or gain the knowledge of how much experience or how much training does one require to utilize this new technique. So we also went through, and as I previously mentioned, we sampled 10 bowls for the internal. We pulled them, popped them. But for our external lesions this time, we upped the number of sampled bowls per area to 20 instead of the 10. Again, as I mentioned, for 2007, we ran through the field, used each sampling technique at the areas, proceeded out of the field, recorded our time for each technique. Now, as we dive into our results, what we're seeing, I'm going to set this up. We're looking here, first graph, at the mean percent bowl damage across all fields. And for 2007, I want you to remember that these were where we had the 2 techniques. The internal technique is the light blue color. The external sunken lesion technique is the purplish color. But it's key here to remember that these were the same sample size, 10 bowls. So using 10 bowls, we see that there was no statistical difference between the percent mean bowl damage. However, you can see that we were numerically predicting just a little bit more, or finding just a little bit more using the internal method. If we jump over and look at 2008, now it's key here to remember again that for the internal method, we collected 10 bowls per sample area, but for the external, we upped that to 20 bowls. You can see there's no statistical difference. However, numerically, we were a little bit closer using that external method to the traditional method than we were in 2007. So just by upping our sample size and using this new 1 lesion per external bowl, we were able to really get a little bit better prediction on damage using the external method. So our next graph that I want to look at is our mean number of seconds. So we're really looking at time here. For 2007, Remember the sample sizes were the same, 10 bowls and 10 bowls? Doing the external method, we were able to cut the amount of time it took to sample by half. Next, looking at the 2008, and again, key to remember here, our internal method, we used 10 bowl sample size, and then for the external method, we bumped up to 20. You can still see there's a statistical amount of damage, or a statistical difference between the amount of time it required using the external technique versus the internal technique. Although numerically it is a little bit closer, the key is it's still statistically different. We were able to save time. Now, we realize that doing these fields, there's going to be some variation in our amount of time it takes because of the field size. So what I went and did is I transformed our data using our methods, or our statistical methods here, if I can get the arrow up, where we used time one, which was the time it took for the internal method, minus time two, which is our time it took for the internal method, divided by internal method, and I did the same thing for the damage. So this really just transformed our data into a percentage. And then I ran t-test on these. And what this is showing is if we start by looking at the bowl damage differences, we see in 2007 that, well, for both 2007 and 2008, these p-values suggest that there is no statistical difference between the two methods that we used. And that's great. That's what we wanted to see. We want to see that this external method is just as efficient as the internal method at detecting damage. As we look at our time, we see for both 2007 and 2008, p-values suggest there is statistical difference. Again, this is exactly what we wanted to see. I've already shown you in the graphs that we were able to save time using the new external method. This just helps bolster that a little bit by taking out the variability of moving across fields. So now, as I mentioned, we threw in an additional caveat. We were looking at the three expertise levels. As we start to dive in this data, we're going to start by looking at the ALS means percent bowl damage with respect to each of the expertise levels. And I'll start out by saying here across the top, these large letters, these are our slice effects for each of the expertise levels. So is there any difference between our expertise levels for the percent bowl damage detected? And we see yes. There is no difference between low or moderate expertise levels, but they were significantly predicting or finding greater amounts of damage than the high level, high expertise level. Now, if you look within each treatment or within each expertise levels, you see for the low expertise levels, there is no difference between which method they used. You get over to the moderate level, which was basically myself and Dr. Herbert, we just weren't as good as these beginners. We saw some statistical difference there between the two techniques for us, but once you got back to the high expertise level, there was no difference. So really, what is this telling us? Well, we see that there's a difference for the high expertise levels. Now you may be asking, why are these expertise not finding as much damage as did everybody else? Well, just keep that question in your mind. I want to kind of go through the next graph and then we'll readdress that.
2 minutes.
2 minutes, all right, thanks. So the next, we're looking at the amount of time it took for these expertise levels. Again, across the top, we're looking at the slice effect for each of the expertise levels. Here we see that the low expertise level took significantly more time than the moderate or the high, with no difference between those two. Looking at within each treatment or each expertise level, we see that for the low expertise level, they took significantly more time doing the internal method than they did for the external method. You get over and look at the moderate and high levels, there was no difference within those treatments. So when we put this together with the amount of damage we were seeing, It kind of makes a little bit of sense to me. These expertise levels who are considered low, they're new to the field, they're going to take more time, they're going to look at these bowls a little bit harder probably than the moderate or the high levels, and in doing so, they're going to find more damage. So to me, that explains a little bit of that, and it also explains why they're a little bit slower than everybody else. So our overall conclusions that we're seeing is that there is no difference noted between the scouting techniques with regard to percent bowl damage for 2007 or 2008 data. Also, the time savings were significant utilizing the external scouting technique for both 2007 and 2008. As we dived into the expertise levels, looking at the percent damage, we saw that across the levels, the higher expertise found significantly lower percent damage than the low or the moderate expertise levels. Now, to address this a little bit, this might be because the high expertise levels, they're used to going and moving through the field quite rapidly. And as I mentioned, they may not be spending quite as much time examining those bowls as the high or the low and the moderate. So they may have actually missed a few that we picked up. The within levels, we saw moderate expertise found significantly higher percent bowl damage internally than externally. Not much, I really don't have an explanation for that, except for Dr. Herbert and myself were really bad. There's no expertise, there are no differences occurred between the low and high expertise levels with regard to percent bowl damage. As we looked at the time, we saw that the moderate and high expertise significantly were faster than the low. We discussed that. We saw within that the expertise levels for the low were significantly more time. As we discussed that, they were new to it, but there's no differences across the moderate or high expertise levels. So what does all this mean for us? Well, it says that this new external scouting technique appears to be as effective as the traditional bowl scouting technique, and that it significantly reduces the amount of time required for sampling. If I got just a second, some of the future stuff we're doing, we're working on putting a regional publication together that's going to have all this information and a description of how this technique is utilized. We have a massive bowl data set that we're examining to make sure that this 20 bowl sample size for this external scouting technique is really what we need, or if it needs to be adjusted. And then we want to replicate this one more year to show that this can be done over years. With that, I've got people to thank, but I don't know if we have time for questions.
Let's hold those till the intermission.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.